All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we continue on here in Genesis 37, the analysis of verses 21 through 24, where Reuben comes up with his own plan. His own plan has ulterior motives, and that is to seek the approbation of his father Jacob as the firstborn, to try to reestablish his position in light of his SCA episode of having sex with one of his father's wives. The surface reading in regards to these particular verses might look like Reuben has good intentions, but he's only thinking of himself, which is the general approach and attitude of people running under their sin natures, human viewpoint, rejecting the truth of doctrine. His plan is to simply let nature or wild animals kill off Joseph rather than getting their own hands bloody and being incriminated in that respect. His plan doesn't even get off the ground in regards to his brothers. Point 57. In fact, it doesn't really get off the ground. So it came about when Joseph reached his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the varicolored tunic that was on him, and they took him and threw him into the pit. So as we left off last class, point 58 is here that Moses expects the readers to fill in certain facts to correctly analyze what actually happened. 59, first, it is clear from the subsequent narrative in verses 29 and following that Reuben exited the presence of his brothers at some point. So it's clear from the subsequent verses. Verse 29, now Reuben returned to the pit. Behold, Joseph was not in the pit, so he tore his garments. And he turned to his brothers, verse 30, and said, the boy is not there. As for me, where am I to go? In other words, he was not present during the scene where Joseph was sold to the caravan heading for Egypt, that will follow our verses in verses 25 through 28, after the occasion of assaulting Joseph, as when the caravan comes into view. They sell Joseph into slavery with Judah's encouragement. And it's very clear that Reuben doesn't know what happened to Joseph when he returns to the pit to look for him. So he's exited the immediate premises of where they're at, and you got to kind of figure out when that occurred. 61, now the next consideration here is that the brothers did not cast Joseph in, quote, this pit in the wilderness. The pit, this one, the specific pit that Reuben proposed that was located geographically in the wilderness outside of their immediate surroundings. So the next consideration is that the brothers did not cast Joseph in, quote, this pit in the wilderness of Reuben's choice of verse 22, but here, the pit with the definite article of the brothers' choice. They had another one in mind after Joseph's arrival in verse 24a. They took him and threw him into the pit, a particular pit here without water. So that's point 62. The second difference between the two cisterns, bore in the Hebrew, can mean well, cistern, or simply a dry hole, a pit. So the second difference between the two cisterns is that the one suggested by Reuben had water in it, that's through deductive reasoning, to attract wildlife needed for killing Joseph according to plan, to bind him up, leave him there as bait, and sooner or later, mountain lion, bear, whatever, if the reptiles, poisonous reptile didn't get to him first, come in and for a drink of water and go, oh, take out. So that just comes through logical deduction. You're going to throw him in a pit of his choice in the wilderness, away from everybody, so that wildlife can get to him. It would have, that one would have water in it naturally to attract the wildlife. And you just, where water is at is where you always got to be careful if you're out in wild lands where wild animals roam, because they all visit those locations. That's their source of water too. See. That's in contrast, point 63, to the immediate cistern that Joseph was actually cast into, quote, was empty without any water in it. That's Rek Ayin Bet Mayim in the Hebrew, end quotes. That's verse 24b. So it's not in this pit, the one in the wilderness, that would have water in it to serve their purposes of Joseph being killed by wild animals otherwise, is a dry hole, a dry well. So the actual well that was used only had the asset to detain Joseph. After he arrived, being dry and closer in vicinity to where the shepherds were camped, put him in there someplace so that he would be fairly available and they could keep an eye on him, not way off in a remote location. Further, we can deduce that Reuben was present when Joseph was actually thrown into the pit in our verses, as he later returns to it to investigate Joseph's status. That was verse 29. He came back to the pit, basically, is the idea. He returned to the pit. But he doesn't know what happened to Joseph. So that tells us two things. He was there when he was thrown in the pit because he knew where the location was where they incarcerated him. And two, he was absent during the decision to sell Joseph into slavery and doing so. So 66, that Reuben was not aware of Joseph's final disposition when he came back to the well, indicates his absence then filled in all the time between our verses and verse 29 and following. So verses 25 through 28, essentially, Reuben is not in the vicinity. He's gone somewhere. So 67, with these notations, we can construct a reliable facsimile to what happened. I'm not saying this exactly right, variances off of it, but we get a pretty good idea of what's going on here. 68, now having been challenged by Reuben, the brothers then needed to come to a decision with Joseph fast approaching the camp. They first see Joseph on the horizon. It's going to take a little bit of time for him to get there. That's when they get together in unison, say, all right, this is it. We're going to kill him. We're all on the same page here. We'll say a wild animal ate him, throw him into one of the wells, let him decompose, probably an animal carry off the carcass after the fact anyway. And that's our plan to kill him. And Reuben comes in with all this takes some time. As Reuben comes in with his plan, but it's just enough time to cause the others to sit back now and reconsider this new proposal. You got to figure at one point they think everybody's on the same page. Reuben steps in, well, maybe not. In order for their plan to work, they all need to be on the same page. They don't want any loose tongues running around, you know, if they're going to kill their brother, able to squeal on them. So you put these things together, do deductive reasoning, you come to these certain conclusions. And all this takes time. Joseph is obviously getting closer and closer during this time. And they have to make a decision now what to do. 69, they remain agitated and now indecisive, if you will, with this new, quote, chink in the armor, end quote, of their plan. It makes them a little hesitant. You can get people to hesitate, and you got an advantage over them, see, if you're planning on attacking. So the author then moves on to his arrival to the camp. 70, after the plan suggested by Reuben in verse 22a, 23, verse 23a and b would be best translated, but what happened after that was Joseph came to his brothers and they caused to strip Joseph of his tunic. And it came about, came to pass. And what happened, see, is the idea. After which, after the fact of Reuben's proposal, your relative pronoun of share following the verb hayah in the Hebrew. So it should be better translated, but what happened after that? To show a contrasting difference to what Reuben proposed. So 71, the idea should reflect a different reaction than what Reuben proposed. Seventy-two. Reuben's exhortations here to get their emotions under control and keep their hands off Joseph went out the window. Went out the window. Sixty-three. The sight of the vari-colored tunic, the garment, the special garment that his father had made for him, up close, there in the vicinity, that symbolized Joseph's preeminence in the household in their father's eyes, was enough to reignite their anger, and they immediately assaulted him. They had their plan laid out. Reuben comes in with his alternate plan. They consternate over it, and Joseph shows up. He's got the special garment on. You might think that's a twit, but he does. And that's all it took. They're back under their SCA anger, hostility, animosity just comes flaring out now. And that implies certain things in regards to the brother's attitude towards Reuben, that his words really did not hold a lot of sway in their company. Their SCAs, their mouths, they're salivating, they're drooling, waiting for this time. I mean, this is what's pictured in regards to this, that you miss it if you don't put all these things together and consider all the facts. That they've been drooling over what they're going to do, their STAs, in regards to their brother. Going to get rid of this problem in our life. He's a problem because he's showing them all up spiritually. And it's interfering with their own agendas, see, in regards to their own place in the household. So, when he shows up with a special garment on, that's enough just to set them off again. Their emotions take hold and they attack. 74, now the hip-fill form of the verb fashah, transliterated, which is translated stripped here, means the attack was violent and heartless. It was violent and heartless. They didn't care that it hurt, that they caused to do this. It means they did it by force. 75, that they forcefully removed the garment. Here, obviously, pictures Joseph struggling to defend himself. He just didn't roll over. No, the whole picture is a violent assault. They're going to take that garment off of him, and he's trying to defend himself as he's caught, probably unaware, in their trickery of everybody laying around, sitting around like nothing else is going on. See. '76, their pent-up hatred and jealousy finds a vent for physical expression. That's what happens if you have mental attitude sins. You feed it with verbal sins in that respect, and you don't get control of it. Sooner or later, it will go public. It will become overt if you continue to feed it in that fashion. If opportunity obviously arises. And their SCA, your SCA, it wants to be taken care of. It wants to be satiated, but it can never be satiated fully. You're angry, so you don't have a person to hit. You hit a wall and put your fist through it or whatever, you know. Anger. Here they had a target. Here they had an object to vent their anger on, the very object that they hated most. And again, they attacked the person because they can't attack the doctrine that he disseminated to them. What else are they going to get a hold of? Can't get a hold of God that induced the dreams that Joseph had. So, that's the immediate reaction. That's their knee-jerk reaction when they see it. You can just see it in their eyes. Do it. '77, however, the weight of Reuben's words still remained on their minds. It's not just that straightforward. It's a little bit more complicated. Reuben has been successful, if you will, in inserting this kind of doubt of consciousness, if you want to call it that. But at least the proposition that they might be able to take care of murdering him without getting their hands, if you will, dirty. Had the hitman be the animals of this world or whatever, some other form of him dying rather than directly at their hands. So the weight of Reuben's words is on their minds as they rip off his garment, assault him, beat the hell out of him. That releases some of their emotions. And Reuben has done just enough psychologically for them to at least stop at this point and not go ahead and take it to the end and kill him. So 78, so they stop short of murder and instead decide that they will temporarily contain Joseph until they have further opportunity to consider Reuben's proposal. They unleash their fury on him. They got his garment off of him. He's subdued. Let's take a break. throw him in that pit over there. And let's think about what and how we're going to kill him otherwise. We're hungry. We'll eat. That's your next verse. This is just kind of crazy stuff comes in. Then they sit down and had a meal. That's how the next verse is going to come up. Then they sit down to eat. They eat a meal, verse 25. Yeah, they worked up an appetite. So they stopped short of murder, point 78 again, and instead decide that they will temporarily contain Joseph until they had a further opportunity to consider Reuben's proposal. Maybe Reuben has something here we do need to think about a little bit more. If there is another way that we can get rid of our problem without getting our hands dirty, that would be a safer approach for their own future. 79, a nearby dry pit was the solution to keep an eye on him while they thought things through. So all this goes on. Point 80, Reuben then was privy to all this and sees his plan has been stymied. He was there when they attacked him. Now, what involvement he had, whether he just basically stayed on the perimeter, outside of immediate action, etc. I mean, you got, you know, nine guys already dogpiling the brother. All the chaos, etc. Somebody kind of standing at the edge. Not going to think much about it. But in either case, he goes, well, it doesn't look like they're going to do what I suggested. But Reuben will come up with an alternate and one last-ditch effort hope that maybe he can still pull his plan through, even though Joseph would be worse for wear. And because of that, that's why I'm under the impression that he didn't really involve himself in the actual assault itself. It's just there. So Reuben was privy to all this, point 80, and sees his plan has been stymied. 81, he knows where Joseph is and comes up with one quick alternative with any hope to salvage his plan. 82, he uses the commotion and chaos to disappear for the present time. Is it throwing him in the pit? He's aware that this is where he's going to be held. And he takes that opportunity to slip away. In the thinking mode of the brothers knew what he preferred. They knew of his plan, obviously. And they wouldn't think twice that he might have gone off in a huff. For him to disappear would not seem that unnatural to them. You might think, well, if he left, why didn't they go looking for him? It's Reuben. He's all PO'd because we didn't do what he wanted us to do. He's gone off to sulk or whatever. On Reuben's part, 84, he could always use the excuse that he went to check on the flocks if questions came later. Where'd you go? I went to check on the flock. I went to check on the sheep. We know he went away far enough that he is unaware of the caravan and all that occurred in the brothers auctioning off Joseph. The distance suggests attempt to avoid being found by any inquisitive brother otherwise. He goes away far enough so that if someone did kind of get the idea to go look for him, they probably wouldn't find him. They give up. He doesn't want anybody to come look for him. Why? Because he has another alternative plan he's going to try to do. He's going to see if he can salvage this thing and come back at a later time and deliver Joseph in that fashion. So 87, his hope is that he can return later unawares and still rescue Joseph and restore him to his father. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. 88, with a late afternoon evening meal, following then in sequence of verse 25, the timing fits into the suggestion of Reuben's secondary plan. It is late afternoon. I'm going to slip off. It's not going to be long before it's dark. Not too long. And I'll come back then under the cover of darkness and try again. All right, verses 25 through 28. These verses document Joseph's slavery Joseph sold into slavery while Reuben is absent. Other things occur. Other things that God knew would occur. Verse 25, we'll look at the Hebrew here first. About to erase all the other stuff. Then they sat down to eat a meal. How callous and cold-hearted are these guys? Wow, consecutive. Cow, perfect third, masculine plural. A verb to sit down, yeshav. Y-A-S-H-A-B. For the purpose to eat or consume bread, literally. You have a preposition lamed with the cal infinitive construct, a verb to eat or consume, a call, A-K-A-L, followed with our noun, common masculine singular, absolute, of our word, literally bread. It can refer to a meal, lechem, L-E-C-H-E-M. And as they raise their eyes, right? So the first thing we see is they're ravenous. They've worked up an appetite. Then you have this picture of them finally lifting their heads up, raising their eyes. And that pictures them eating like animals. They hit that food. Very little was said between them. They were completely focused on devouring their food. And all this pictures, physically pictures their spiritual demeanor and their attitude otherwise. And as they raise their eyes and look, behold, hit wow consecutive, count perfect third masculine plural, nasa, N-A-S-A, lifted or raised. Their eyes is a common both dual construct, the third masculine plural suffix of the noun ayin, A-Y-I-N, for eyes, and looked. See, the language might seem redundant, but it's giving you two different distinct actions that the author wants you to focus on. So they lift their eyes first, then they look, they observe. Wow, consecutive, our verb to look, common verb, cal, imperfect third masculine plural, ra'ah, R-A-A-H, look or saw. And behold, wow, conjunction with your introductory particle here, henna, that we've seen throughout these verses, to grab our attention as something important, H-I-N-N-E-H. And behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead. Our word for caravan is the common feminine singular noun construct, oreka, or orca, O-R-E-C-H-A-H, caravan of, a traveling company of, is the idea, hence a caravan. It's used 8 times. Here, this caravan is made up of Ishlamites, proper noun, Yishmaeli, Y-I-S-H-E-M-E-E-L-I-Y. Yishmaeli, something like that. Supercalifragilistic, who knows? It's used 2 times. This definition for the people as Islamites, obviously from the line of Ishmael, is only used 2 times in the Old Testament. Here in Judges 8:24, was coming from Gilead. Our verb for coming here is cal participle, feminine singular, absolute bo, b-o. Gilead is your proper noun preceded with the preposition men. With their camels bearing aromatic gum and balm and myrrh. Vowel conjunction. Then you had first in the Hebrew are now for camels. Common masculine plural construct. Third masculine plural suffix gamal. G-A-M-A-L. Is a convoy. Bearing is your cal participle, masculine plural absolute, nasa, N-A-S-A, which means to lift, carry, bear. And here we're given a list of their products. At first is translated aromatic gum, is your common feminine singular noun absolute, nekoth, N-E-K-O-T-H. Literally, the word means spice, used 4 times. And, vowel conjunction. Balm is your common masculine singular noun absolute. Tsari, T-S-A-R-I-Y. Balm or balsam. And myrrh, vowel conjunction. Our noun for myrrh is common masculine singular absolute. Loth, L-O-T-H. On their way is your cal participle, masculine plural verb is an absolute, a verb to walk, literally halak, H-A-L-A-K, walking, traveling, to bring down to Egypt, to bring them down to Egypt. You have the preposition, they're traveling, it's for a purpose here to deliver these items. Preposition lamed with the verb hifil, infinitive construct, yarad, y-a-r-a-d, to cause a bring down, descending to. This looks at elevation, not direction. In the Hebrew, when it says down or up, it looks at elevation. You go from a higher elevation down to a lower elevation, around sea level, as they might travel along the main highway that went along the coastline there, from the higher region where they were at in Gilead, which would be northern, kind of more mountainous region. So that's it. In our language, going down means often means you're going south. It doesn't mean that in the Hebrew. They were descending to Egypt, proper noun. Verse 26. And Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it for us to kill our brother and cover up his blood? So Judah has a plan. And God utilizes him as an instrument to carry on and fulfill his plan for Joseph. You have the wow consecutive and a verb to say, and he said, cal imperfect third masculine singular, amar, A-M, A-R, Judah, proper noun, to his brothers, preposition L denotes face-to-face here, E-L, in their company. brothers is your common masculine plural construct. Third masculine singular suffix, ach, A-C-H. What profit is it for us? You have the interrogative pronoun ma, what, M-A-H, followed with your common masculine singular noun absolute. Our word for profit or gain is betsa, B-E-T-S-A. That is your conjunction key, K-I-Y. Then our word to kill or murder is your cal imperfect first common plural harag, H-A-R-A-G. Our brother, sign of direct object, noun for brother again, ach, A-C-H. Here as a common masculine singular construct, first common plural suffix. And cover up is blood, while consecutive. Our verb to cover up or conceal is the PL. To try to completely cover our tracks is the idea here. is PL perfect first common plural kasah, K-A-S-A-H. His blood, that is the evidence of his murder. You're going to kill somebody, you got to do something with the evidence, or else the investigators will hunt you down. Sometimes 10, 20 years after the fact, supposedly. Sign of direct object, his blood is the common masculine singular construct, third masculine singular suffix, or noun dam, D-A-M. So here's his idea, verse 27. With the caravan in view, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. So this idea, this plan is going to serve to feed them mentally in two ways. Greed, and give them an out in regards to any conscience they may still have of actually killing their brother by their own hands. So you have the cal imperative, masculine plural or verb, translated come is literally walk, come or go, halak, again H-A-L-A-K. And let us sell is a wow conjunction. Verb cal and perfect first common plural cohortative use here with the third masculine singular suffix makar, M-A-K-A-R. Let us sell him literally to the Ishmaelites, preposition lamed, followed with the definite article and proper noun, Ishmaelites again. And now lay our hands on him. Vowel conjunction. Then you have your noun for hand, common feminine singular construct with the first common plural suffix yad, Y-A-D. So to correct the note back there on 25, where Ishmaelites, proper noun, I said used two times. That's looking at our passage as a whole. So technically that should be three times, because we have it again now in verse 27. Try to keep things in order. That I can keep up with this even to this degree. I'm surprised. But anyway, our hand, not lay our hands on him. In our hand, yod, then you follow with the negative adverb, all, A-L. And then you have the cal imperfect, third feminine singular in the Jesse force, our verb, hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. Translated not lay, not let it happen is the idea. not let their hands become on him, would be a literal translation. On him is a preposition bet with a third masculine singular suffix. And he gives the cause for he is our brother, our flesh. Conjunction key, because or for, K-I-Y. Our noun for brother again, ach. Common masculine singular construct the first common plural suffix, A-C-H. Our brother of our flesh. They seem to be related here, I guess. Common masculine singular construct the first common plural suffix, basar, flesh, B-A-S-A-R. Is he emphatic? Use of the pronoun, third masculine singular, who? Who in the Hebrew is he? Then you have the phrase, and his brothers listened. Vowel consecutive, our verb to listen is a count perfect third masculine plural, shema, S-H-A-M-A, followed with his brothers, ach again, with the third masculine singular suffix. Verse 28, then some Midianite traders passed by. Might look like you got two different caravans going on or something else. We'll deal with that. And so they pulled him up and lifted Joseph out of the pit. So you have the Ishmaelites mentioned. Now you have Midianites mentioned. Well, consecutive, our verb to pass by is the cow in perfect third masculine plural, abar, A-B-A-R. Men of Midian is literally, hence the Midianites. You have common masculine plural absolute noun, ish, man, I-S-H, proper noun, Midiani, Midianites, men of Midianites. Then you have the cow participle masculine plural absolute, sakar, S-A-C-H-A-R, which means going about in trade, traders. So these were, specifically traders in the caravan. That's the idea here. So they pulled in and lifted Joseph out of the pit. Literally, you had the wow consecutive with the verb to drag out, hence pulled out. Cow in perfect third masculine plural, mashak, M-A-S-H-A-K. Some of these wells could be fairly deep over in the Mideast. In other words, and lifted. Almost seems redundant, but there's emphasis here. They dragged and they lifted, literally. While consecutive and cause to pull up, lift, bring up, is a hiphil in perfect third masculine plural, Allah, A-L-A-H. Sign of direct object, proper noun, Joseph, from the pit or cistern, preposition men, definite article, our noun again, bore, B-O-R, well, cistern, pit, common masculine singular, absolute. And sold him then to the Ishmaelites, back to the Ishmaelites, for 20 shekels of silver. While consecutive, our verb to sell is makar, cal, imperfect third masculine plural, M-A-K-A-R. Definite article, sign of the definite article, Joseph, proper noun, Ishmaelites, preposition, lamed. I guess there's three times here and this word is used. I'll catch up one of these days. Definite article, preposition, lamed, definite article, proper noun, to the Ishmaelites. Then our 20 shekels of silver, as is translated, you have the preposition bet, followed with the adjective, both plural absolute. Our word for 20 is eserim, E-S-E-R-I-Y-M. The preposition here, at 20, indicates bidding went on. To make sense of that preposition used in this context. And then shekels is of silver is all actually one word. Our word for silver is common masculine singular absolute. Kesef. K-E-S-E-P-H. 20 pieces would be a better... actually, they used it in weight, whatever weight that would be. We've dealt with monetary systems before Genesis. 20 weights of silver, so 20 pieces, basically. You got the number. Each piece weighed a certain amount. Not necessarily a shekel. That's what I'm saying. And they caused to bring him into Egypt, Joseph into Egypt. That's the final phrase here. God's plan still on course. Well, consecutive, ifil, imperfect, third masculine plural, bo, B-O, cause to bring into, sign direct object, the person Joseph, into the land, Egypt. All right, well, we got the parsing out of the way. We'll pick this up. The analysis Tuesday, if we're not forcibly shut down. Keep it in your prayers. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light these things in Jesus' name. Amen.